Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 265. Y'all ready to go? Let's do this.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. Insert weird fact about Pat. Wait a minute. What? Oh, I get it. Pat Flynn.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Indeed works fast, like really fast. In fact, by the time this ad's over, 23 hires will have been made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Look, hiring's hard enough, so don't make it harder on yourself. Indeed makes it so easy to manage it all in one place, from initial screenings to messagings, interviewing candidates. You can do it all right from Indeed with no extra apps involved. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now. Support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today in this session of the SPI podcast. I'm really excited to bring back two people. an amazing husband and wife combo who have been on the show before, episode 122, which was actually published back in August of 2014. That episode has more downloads than when Gary Vaynerchuk was on the show. It has more downloads than when Tim Ferriss was on the show. And the reason is because Shane and Jocelyn are just, they were just two people from Kentucky who had discovered the SPI podcast. Shane was all about it right from the start. Jocelyn, not so much. But they talked about their journey, about how they've taken these strategies on Smart Passive Income, put them into action, and have since built this amazing empire. And Shane is was a football coach. Jocelyn was helping librarians and teachers. And they've been able to build these massive online businesses, passive income businesses, in those industries. And now they've since also built out what's called flippedlifestyle.com, where they talk a lot about what they've been able to do. They also have a podcast where they, in a very unique way, walk new people who are in this world of online business through the process based on what they've learned. And actually, they're here today to teach us, that's me included, how they've been able to grow and expand still with advertising as one of their primary ways of getting new eyes and ears on their brands. So we're going to go right into advertising right now, something I'm really looking forward to getting into now that I finally have my own products as well. And I know a lot of you are building your own products out now too, or you might have your own products already and you just want to get some more eyes and ears on it. Well, Shane and Jocelyn have some very specific strategies to share that's working for them that may work for us as well. So let's get right to it. Here they are. Hey guys, what's up? I'm so happy to welcome back Shane and Jocelyn Sams, our spectacular guests from episode 122 way back in the day, who are back. Shane, Jocelyn, thank you so much for coming back on the show. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we are great, Pat. Thank you so much for having us back on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here the second time, because I remember when I started my online business, I was like, if we could just be on SPI once. And now we get to do it twice.
Now you get to do it twice.
This is double a dream come true, baby.
I think when I mentioned your names and people were like, I don't know who that is, but then they heard your voices. If they've heard that episode, they would recognize your voices because they're just so right. Distinct. But also your personalities. I mean, that's one of the things I love about you guys. You're just so lovable, and it's just so great to see how far you've come. So if you haven't listened to 122 yet, that is by far the one of the top most downloaded episode. I think it's actually the top downloaded episode that's not from like a Tim Ferriss or a Gary Vaynerchuk type person.
Right.
In my eyes, I feel like it's the most inspirational because you told a story about how you found the show, the Smart Passive Income Podcast, and took some ideas that you had and ran with it. And now you guys, like, tell us an update. Like, how well are you guys doing right now? If you could share just kind of the barometer of that.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good, to be honest with you. Like, we don't ever like to toot our own horn because that's just like, it makes us uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, you know, we've made a lot of money in the last couple years, and we've just had thousands of people buy stuff from us online. And, you know, we just, the big barometer for us is our new home, because for those who may not be familiar with our story, like, when we decided to do online business, we knew that we had to do a drastic change. And we actually sold our house and downsized into a smaller house that had half the mortgage just so we would have enough money to start our online business and to get this thing going.
And we lived there for like almost 4 years.
Right, exactly. And then recently we just bought a 30-acre estate.
Jeez.
And we have a private lake. Like, we bought a lake. And our house now is twice as big as the one that we sold when we started out. So, you know, we have all this like forest and stuff around us, and our kids are just so happy here. And, you know, when I wake up every morning and I get to go have coffee at my kitchen table and I look out at our lake, like, I'm like, man, how can this even be possible?
That's
if it
awesome.
Wasn't for online business?
Yeah. I mean, congratulations, you guys. And again, episode 122, we'll link to that obviously in the show notes. But I wanted to bring you guys both back on to not only talk about what you've been up to and how you've built other businesses on top of what you talked about before. I mean, before you had the coaching business and also the librarian business. And then you've since created a podcast called Flip Your Life and other things going on. It's just incredible what you've built. But I also know that advertising has been a major part of the growth strategy. So I'd love to dive into that in any which way this takes us. So Shane, why don't we start with you in terms of advertising? Like, what made you want to do that in the first place? Or how did you even know that was the right way to go for you?
Well, like, we always say that when you're doing anything in online business, you only have two resources. You have time or money. And being, you know, parents with small children and, you know, we've got a lot of other things going on. We have four or five businesses that we're juggling at all times. Like, we didn't think that we could grow everything if we just sat around and did it organically, or even like did the podcast circuit, did the, you know, YouTube circuit or whatever you do to get your name out there. Mm-hmm. So what we said was it would probably be better if we could invest money over time and just buy ads instead of kind of waiting for the audience to come to us, or, you know, really hitting the ground and going out and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies. We would just buy traffic. So that's basically what we decided to do was, let's just buy traffic and let's buy as much as we can. And every time we spend a dollar and get back $1.50, let's spend another dollar. And it's just really worked well for us in our online business.
So Jocelyn, in terms of that, at the start of advertising, I mean, did you initially think it was a good idea too, or did you ever have any reservations about it?
Not really. I mean, I usually am the person who's sort of like pulling back the reins and, whoa, boy, we got to calm down here.
Whoa, boy, me. I'm smart passing income podcast.
Whoa, boy.
I think you did. Whoa, boy.
Whoa, boy.
Easy, cheetah.
That's a Southern saying right there. But yeah, so, I mean, I knew that we needed to do that to grow. So it's definitely not something that I was necessarily afraid of. It's just I am more, I guess, like I want things to work, make sure that they're working before we go all in. Mm-hmm. And Shane's more like, let's just put down like $10,000.
Let's spend $10,000 on this ad I just made and I've not even tested. Jocelyn's like, whoa, stop there.
Yeah, we'll get the Woboy shirts made at some point. But
yeah, the plus style Woboy.
Yeah, right. But okay, walk me through like the very first ad that you created, and did it work? Did it not? What was it for?
The first ads probably were for our coaching and elementary librarian site, because we knew there's peak times during in the both of those industries where people are really active on the internet, really engaged, and really looking for that information, like the back to school period, you know, mm-hmm. which most places in America is August, January, back to school from Christmas. So we thought, hey, what a great chance to just double down this money and try ads like at all these teachers. So Jocelyn started running them basically at her audience.
Yeah, but I kind of made a mistake at the beginning because I was always running them like to a sales page. You know, yeah. I was trying to get cold audiences, people who had no idea who I was, and I'm trying to run them straight to a sales page. And if you have any experience with advertising, you know that that does not work very well.
Mm. So what was the solution then?
So what I decided to do instead is I've started running some ads to cold audiences for free things. So like no opt-in required. I just send them to something totally for free. Mm-hmm. And of course, there is an opportunity to opt in on the page if they want to, but they don't have to get the content that I advertise.
And at the same time, when we send any kind of traffic to this page, we're pixeling them with the Facebook tracking pixel so that once they've been introduced to our brands, we can then follow up with a whole separate group of ads that we call warm ads. So people who have already discovered our content, already been there, mm-hmm. even if we don't get their email, we can go show them better ads that are more, give me your email, or even, hey, buy these products.
Okay, so are you speaking about Facebook kind of solely at this point?
No.
No?
We usually, no. What we found on Facebook, and actually this came through Flip Lifestyle, because you know, over the last 2 years, we've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people personally, helping them do online business. Mm-hmm. And we realized that, you know, in the online marketing space, you know, you can, if you want to start a podcast about interviewing entrepreneurs, well, you can target you or Michael Hyatt or, you know, other entrepreneurs. But when we got down into some of these other niche markets, there were not personalities. There were not interests where it was easy to target people. Like, take our U.S. history teacher website. It was hard for me to find U.S. history teachers. I could find teachers, but that was a broad group. Mm-hmm. So what we figured out was, let's go to Google. We know that people are searching for these resources in Google. Let's get them to click to free content. Don't even ask for an opt-in through the search results, but then we'll pixel them and show them warm ads over on Facebook. So that kind of is what really opened the door and opened our eyes to everybody. Like, kind of like falls into a camp like, I like Pinterest ads, I like Facebook
ads. Yeah.
But you can blend them together. The goal is just to get a bunch of traffic and then follow up as much as possible. And that's how we kind of built both the education businesses, and that's how we help people set up ads now.
Okay, so here's a big mindset question related to advertising. If there was no follow-up after that initial ad worked, would it even have been successful for you?
No, probably not. Like, you mean like if, like, say one ad, what do you, say that again.
But,
what do you
mean? Like there's no retargeting. It's just that initial ad going to a page and there's no follow-up.
No, that does not work.
It does not work.
No, okay. You have to have exposure and you have to get people into your brand or they're not going to buy from you. You can't just hope for, that's why Google ads don't work all the time, because people are like, oh, I got you in the search. Oh, you clicked my page. Nothing happened. But if you pixel them and you can go back to Facebook where everybody's on Facebook or everybody's on whatever, then you can follow up and they see your ad 7-8 times. They get more chances to get free content. Eventually, they're going to buy.
Got it. Okay. So just to clarify the technical aspect of this pixeling thing, you're actually using a Facebook pixel on the landing page, but yes, you're sending traffic via Google. And is that Google AdWords?
It is. But it doesn't have to be Google. It's where does your audience search for solutions to their problems?
Pinterest.
Yeah. Where does your audience hang out?
Okay.
Buy ads there to get traffic. And then we all have Facebook accounts. Even Pinterest, you can follow back up again with them in other places so that they see you over and over again. Let me give you an example. That'd probably be easier.
Yeah, cool.
So let's say that I want to target U.S. history teachers, because they might not be searching for the word U.S. history teacher. They may not join any groups online in Facebook that say U.S. history teacher. They're just out there floating, living their life. But on Monday morning, if they have to teach about Abraham Lincoln, they probably are going to search for Abraham Lincoln worksheet, Abraham Lincoln crossword puzzle, Abraham Lincoln lesson plan, Abraham Lincoln PowerPoint. Mm. So if I go into Google AdWords and I know these history teachers are searching for these resources, I target them there and say, hey, click here for a free Abraham Lincoln worksheet. Click here for a free whatever. They go get it. Bam. We put the tracking pixel on them. Now we show them over on Facebook. Anytime they log on, they see, hey, did you know you can get an entire year of lesson plans for free? Hey, did you know that you can get an entire Civil War unit so you never have to plan your lessons again? So that's the follow-up over and over and over again from the search traffic where we actually bought traffic to get the click to the page.
I like it. Did you do any research in terms of, okay, these are the terms that U.S. history teachers are typing in? Because I think a lot of people would want to get into a niche and then at that point be like, oh, well, I don't know exactly what they like. How much research are you doing? I mean, you guys were obviously teachers. So Jocelyn, is this just stuff you knew that they would type in, or was there any sort of hard research before that?
I say that we do research at times. For the elementary librarian niche, I mean, this is something that I had been in for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I kind of know their calendar. For instance, Dr. Seuss's birthday is coming up, so I would run ads to some Dr. Seuss materials. The month of April is National Poetry Month, so I will run ads about poetry resources.
But what she would do is you could go into the Google AdWords keyword tool. You could type in something broad like Black History Month. And then you could see all the little things that people are searching for. When we did the football website, I actually sat down one day and it took me 8 hours. And I found I typed in quarterback. And then I typed in, found every word that I thought a quarterback coach was looking for, like quarterback drills, throwing drills, how to grip a football, all mm-hmm. these things. Then mm-hmm. I did linemen, defensive backs, linebackers. And I found everything I could find about that. Then I bought I call them keyword coalitions. I would buy ad packages targeting those words as a group. So I would say linebacker drills, linebacker tackling drills, linebacker read drills. And that would be how I found a linebacker coach if I had a linebacker playbook, basically.
Nice. That's cool. So you're using their behavior actually to come and figure out, okay, this is a person that I'm actually targeting. And then when they come to your website, they get pixeled and then they go back to Facebook. And that's where they start to see what kind of ads at that point. Let's keep going with the U.S. You already mentioned the U.S. history one, but they're getting drills already from you on your website. Right. What are you serving them on Facebook? Where's the conversion to a product?
Okay, if it was the history site, then what we would do is we would say, okay, you clicked on a Civil War worksheet. You might see, we know you're teaching the Civil War right now, right? So you can go back on Facebook and it might say, download an entire Civil War unit right now. That's 11 days of lesson plans. We give that as an opt-in. And then we know the next thing you're going to teach is Reconstruction or the Spanish American War. So I can follow up with, hey, would you like to buy the Spanish American War? Wasn't that awesome? Not having to work in your classroom. For football, it might be, hey, get this drill manual. So they got something for free, 5 drills they can run in practice tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But then we might go say, hey, opt in for this drill clinic tape where I've actually filmed 20 drills that they can go run with their linebackers. And then we would follow up with, okay, here's the playbooks and everything you need to run this for your entire defense.
So they kind of
just expand out and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Same thing with elementary librarian.
This is a long-term sort of situation that you're creating here. It's not a just a conversion on the immediate ad that you're serving right up front. And I think that's the big thing, even for me, because I'm impatient, right? Like, I want things to show me that it's going to work right away. And I think when people get on Facebook, because that's sort of the hot advertising platform, and they run ads and it's not converting, it's kind of like, it doesn't work for me. And I think it's right. obvious that it's going to take some thinking in terms of, okay, well, what leads to what and where can I offer value? But also, you're building a relationship with those initial products that are free. You might be wondering, well, why would you give that away for free? Why not ask for the sale at that point? Well, you're showing them that you have stuff that works, right? And then when you yes. ask later, then they're more likely to say yes. So that's awesome. So Jocelyn, on the teacher ones, how much were you spending per sort of click, I guess is the right term?
You're going to be sick because it's so cheap.
the elementary library one, it's pretty good. Like, I can usually get cold clicks from around like 10, 11 cents.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of the ad it is, sometimes it's a little bit more if it's not something that people are like actively searching for at the moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one is really good. And then even the retargeted traffic, like to get opt-ins, I do pretty well on that also. So it's really inexpensive for that one because I just don't have a lot of competition. So I hate to say that because I don't want somebody to come and compete against me.
Yeah, right. And I think also too, like the competition is an interesting word to use there because there's competition for everything. But when you drill down into those keywords, into the keyword tool, you might find like, someone searching, go back to the history example for like Civil War lesson plan. Maybe there's 1,000 searches a month, but everybody else is targeting like history lesson plans. So if you dig down in there and you can find 10 words that each have 1,000 clicks a month, then all of a sudden you're not spending the $5 an ad or the something an email. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you found words. It's the words that people are using that you're targeting. It's not just the I'm in this industry, therefore I pay $10 an email. Basically.
Right, right. Where did you guys learn all this? Like, how did you figure it out?
Trial and error.
Yeah, you know, I follow just a lot of different people. Just different places. And I just kind of picked up things from podcasts, from blogs, from Facebook ads. I mean, you would be surprised of all the different things you could pick up. And I just sort of put all this stuff together and
created
made
a plan.
It work. I mean, it wasn't successful immediately. We had to kind of refine it a little bit, but it's been going really well.
What's interesting about the Flip Lifestyle brand that we created in the Flip Your Life community, like a lot of people come into that. And I don't feel like it's the traditional online marketing space because we don't have a lot of coaches. We don't have a lot of people that are focused on like, you know, the intricate parts about mm-hmm. internet marketing and sales funnels. We get people that are, you know, teachers. We have one lady that teaches keyboarding to worship instructors at churches. We had one guy come in and he sells Venus flytraps. So like all the things that you learn about in Facebook advertising, you know, courses, they don't apply because how do you target someone on Facebook that likes Venus flytraps, you know?
And so because of that, like, we have to get creative.
Yeah, you know, we had to be a little bit more resourceful.
Yeah, we had to come up with this Google strategy because the Facebook targeting just was not working for some of our clients. And so we thought, well, if it's going to work for our clients, then maybe it'll work for us.
And lo and behold, it was amazing. So.
That's cool. So when you started, was it the Shane approach of let's just go all in, or was it the Jocelyn kind of let's make sure this works first?
Oh no, I started an ad and I was like, I just spent $400 on an ad this week. And she was like, what did you do? And So I just started, yeah. But like, usually I get the ball rolling and then I see a shiny object and start something else. And then Jocelyn comes in and figures it all out. So that's pretty much, of course, how it worked here.
Right. Well, that's why you guys are a perfect pair. So in terms of somebody who's listening to this and they're like, okay, I want to get started. I don't want to waste money while doing it, but I know I need to, you know, spend a little bit to experiment. How much can they spend to get enough information that they can work with to move forward? Like, what's the minimum amount I would need to spend to make sure this is working or not?
Okay, we have like a couple things we tell people in this situation. The first thing that we say is don't get married to the dollar amount, because the more important thing with any ad, whether it's Facebook, Google, or anything, is turn it on, leave it on, make small changes at checkpoints to try to make it better. Like, what we don't want people to do is, like you said earlier, try $50, turn it off, didn't work, sit there and think about it, start a new ad. You've got to be testing this stuff against each other and improving them over time. And then we do look for certain numbers of clicks and things like that.
Yeah, I like to start out, when I run my ads, I usually start out around $10 a day. You don't have to run it forever, but just to get an idea of what you want to do. So if I'm going to run $10 a day, I'll do about 6 on cold traffic, people who have never heard of me. I'll do about 3 on warm traffic. So that's people who have hit my site but have not opted in. I always exclude people who have already opted in.
That's the number of days you're talking about?
No, this is dollars.
Oh, dollars. Oh, so, okay.
Yeah,
$10 a day. So, she's just breaking down like the cold ad, the hot ad, the warm ad.
Got it. Got it.
So, yeah. So if you're spending $10, I do 6 on cold traffic, 3 on warm, 1 on hot. So that's people who have maybe seen my sales page, but they didn't check out.
Yeah. So if it's $100 a day, then you're spending, 60, 30, 10, basically.
Okay.
Because it's right. Yeah.
And then how long do you run them for?
We just run them and
to
that
varies.
Checkpoint,
Yeah, it varies because a lot of our things are seasonal, especially in the education fields. Mm-hmm. So we can't run them ongoing because it doesn't make sense.
So what we would do is, in that case, we would switch to the next seasonal ad. And then the next year we would have the data from the calendar like, oh, well, this worked last Black Friday. Right. So now we're going to look at this data, start the ad again. But maybe we'll run a second ad beside it and change a headline, change a picture just to see if we can improve that conversion. As for numbers, I mean, you've got to let 400 or 500 people go through to even have an idea of what's going on. So we usually wait for that many clicks before we would change anything because everybody gets gun shy when they start ads. They're like, oh, I spent $10 and I didn't make $1,000 and I was told that I would do that. So I quit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like that gets people in an endless circle. So let 500 or 600 people click through, let people go all the way through your autoresponder. 7 or 8 emails, then look at those open rates and then go back and evaluate it maybe once a month or something like that.
So patience is going to be an important part of this.
Yeah. Everything we do, Pat, is a long game. Like we're very much marathon, not a sprint kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we switched over to, we only sell recurring products. We only sell memberships because we want to know exactly what it costs to get a customer, and then we want to know how long that customer stays. And if we have 1,000 people that are staying an average of 6 months and they're all spending $50 and we know it takes $25 to get a membership, then we have this amazing system of slow growth and predictability, which is like way more important to us than like huge hits all at once,
right.
Launch or something like that. Yeah.
So what justifies the recurring model in your eyes instead of a course, for example, that's a one-time fee with a finite amount of information? Are you continually adding new content to these recurring products every single month or at various times?
Yes, we do. And that's the beautiful thing about the continuity model or the membership model is because we are able to continue to serve our audience. Like before, we were always trying to pull people in. And like, it's hard because, especially in the education markets, like mm-hmm. it is a big market, but it's a small market.
Yeah.
There are only approximately 100,000 librarians in the United States. So like, my pool is kind of limited, but when I have these awesome customers and I provide value for them, they will continue to pay over and over and over again.
Yeah, we found it was a lot easier to keep people paying than it was to go find new people. And we go back to, we're parents. We have 2 little kids. We focus on lifestyle. I don't want to work 90 hours a week. I don't want to be launching every, quarter. I don't want to be putting all that energy in. It's so high energy to go run one of these launches, mm-hmm. manage all your affiliates and do these things. Whereas we're kind of like a glacier. We're just moving forward. We're this unstoppable force, and we're just moving and moving and always getting bigger, always getting stronger because let's say we have 1,000 members. Maybe we lose 20. Well, that means I only have to go get 21 to grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can click a button in my reports, Pat, and it's called our future income report. And it takes in things like, we know the average lifetime value of each customer. It looks at all the days of the year. It looks at all these different components, and it can predict 6 months out pretty much within 5 or 10% what we're going to make. That is so much more powerful than I hope the next launch is bigger than the last one, because we can use that data to hire people, to buy more ads, to do whatever we want. So for us, it's just been such a better way to run business. It's really helped us with our stress of, are we going to make money next month?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just nice to know that you've got that coming in. And it's passive in a lot of way because you have all this content. And if you're smart, you make it as evergreen as possible. So even when new people come in, they've got a lot of stuff. You don't have to create things every day. Maybe once a month we add a piece of content or something like that.
Cool. That's awesome. In terms of ads, you had mentioned Google to start out with, which is great because I know a lot of people, Facebook might not be the answer. Are there any other ad platforms you guys are utilizing? And You had mentioned Pinterest. What about Twitter?
I have tried Pinterest with some success. I've actually had about as much success with like repinning to the top. Where I use a plugin, it's called Viral Tag, I think, and it continuously pins content back up to the top. I've actually had an equal amount of success on Pinterest with paid ads. So as of right now, I'm not doing any paid ads on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Twitter, we had tried in the past and actually had had some success. At the time we recorded last time, I liked Twitter's targeting better than Facebook ad targeting.
And then Facebook got really good.
Yeah, and then Facebook improved a lot. And so that's why we've been primarily sticking with that.
And also, too, this kind of goes back to like picking your magic sauce. You know what I mean? Like, You can't do everything. You can't have Twitter ads and Facebook ads and Google ads. You can, but you got to hire more people, create more complexity.
Right, right.
And there's just so much to do. Like, you know, we've got a nail that hammers really good with these Google and these Facebook ads. So why add more ads until this dries up? So we're kind of like on the wave. And if this wave dies, we'll jump on another wave right now.
Nice, nice. That makes sense. I'm curious, and I'm pretty sure some of the people in the audience are curious too, in terms of the husband and wife dynamic, both working on their own online businesses, obviously working on Flip Lifestyle together as well. Like, take us through a normal day, if there is a normal day for you. Maybe I'll start with Jocelyn, then I'll let Shane, you can come in afterwards.
Okay.
This is dangerous, Pat.
Yeah, I know.
It's dangerous giving the wife the mic first. I'm just
saying. No, always ladies first.
That's true.
Well, you know, I always say to people that usually we bring out the best in each other, but occasionally we bring out the worst. That's so true.
Right.
But
it happened at least twice today. I'm just saying, whatever.
So a typical day would be, all right, so during the school year, we get our children up. We usually wake up around usually about 6:30-ish. Everybody has their miracle morning. I say it's a miracle if we get everybody out of bed. And
it's a miracle
out the door
if we make
time.
It to school on time in the morning. And that's our miracle morning.
So we're not big like early risers, really. But we get up around 6:30. We get our children ready for school. We get them out the door. We usually drop them off about 7:45. Mm-hmm. Some days we go to the gym right away. And some days we come home. It just depends on what our workout schedule looks like that week. But if we don't go to the gym, I usually come home. I have a desk treadmill, it's called. So I will actually work on the treadmill. So it has like a surface you can set a keyboard on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will a lot of times answer our Flip Your Life community post. We have like a community forum. And so I usually spend about an hour in there each morning.
And then what we do is, so we kind of like, it's kind of like we like break up for an hour and a half every morning. We just split and go our different ways. I go and work on my thing. We clear our inboxes. We get all of our stuff done. So like if I've got some fires to put out for, you know, one of the businesses that I'm most heavily involved in, mm-hmm. Jocelyn's managing elementary librarian. Usually around 10:30, we come back together and we work on Flipped Lifestyle till usually about like 1 or 1:30. Lunch is somewhere in there. And then after that, usually we're kind of like ramping down because we like to get a little rest before the kids get off the bus.
Yeah.
So we kind of slow down, kind of do something fun, take a nap. I like to take naps, Pat. I just love
that. Yeah, Shane takes a lot more naps.
I take
than
a nap every single time. Because, you know why? Because I couldn't take a nap for like 13 years. So I do now.
I understand.
And, and then we go pick the kids up off the bus. And then it's just like a mad dash of basketball and dance and, you know, going to, you know, Chuck E. Cheese or Mr. Getty's or whatever. And then trying to get them all down for bed. And then usually after that is we kind of just wind down in the evenings and do our own thing. We're together so much. People laugh because we'll go to like live events and like we won't ever be together at the live event. We'll just be like doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come together for dinner or something. And people are like, why aren't you together? And I'm like, we're together every day, every minute
That's
of every
like my
day.
Wife and, I too.
And it's wonderful.
It's great. So like in the evening, Jocelyn has some TV shows. I like to, you know, watch mine. So we just kind of chill out and relax.
Ah, that's cool. I love it, man. It's just so crazy to hear the, you know, because I've been with you guys since the beginning, and it's just really cool to see what you guys have built together. And so I'm curious, like, what are your plans from this point forward? Like, at what point does passive income become just let's make it mostly passive and work on, you know, I don't know, is there any sort of bigger ticket items on your list of things to do, or kind of what's the plan moving forward, if you don't mind sharing?
You know, I think that our biggest plan is to, like you said, just continue growing what we've got. We've got plans and we all have monetary goals and things like that, but our goal is to make it as passive as possible, pull back, you know, give as much out, as many hours back to each other and our kids as we can. One of my big focuses this year is our kids have launched their own YouTube channel. So I want to be able to have time to put into that. So
that's cool.
You know, if we can just keep growing all the passive stuff, make that happen. The money is coming. That's fine. We can make the money, but I want to make the most of our time, not just make the money.
Yeah. And I would say that one of our strategies for this year is what I call layering. So basically what that means is that we're trying to figure out layers of ways to sell things that we already have that maybe we haven't already tapped into yet. For example, there's a third-party marketplace for teachers. It's called Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm going to put some of my materials on there, not all of them, but I'm just going to put some of them on there so that I can not only sell more, but I can also get more exposure. I'm going to put some type of link back to my website in there in hopes that people who might not have seen my website will then find me through Teachers Pay
Teachers. So the equivalent of this in like the online space would be you sell courses, but you're going to take some of those courses to Udemy,
sure,
or Kajabi or something like that. Just leave more breadcrumbs back to what we've already created so we build more passive income. We build more, you know, like trails into our business and it keeps growing, but at the same time, we can focus on other things.
Yeah, it's like for Flip Lifestyle, we're going to open up a more passive level. So right now, like we work with our clients pretty much one-on-one, but that's only scalable so far.
Right.
So one of the things that we're going to do is open up a more passive level so that people can use our content, but we don't necessarily work with them on a one-on-one basis.
And a big thing to us, Pat, and like this is something that we struggle with when we look at like the online community sometime of entrepreneurs is, you know, I think there's this dangerous mindset that people get into of endless growth, whereas we try to start everything with contentment. Like, we're really happy where we are. We're really comfortable. We're really content. Like, yeah, could we grow to $50 million doing something? Sure. But at what cost? How many people would we have to hire? What kind of complexities would we have to add to our life to do that? And I think we're more like slow, gradual growth and continue to move forward. But we don't want to grow beyond a certain point right now because we're really happy. So why not just stay here and be happy?
I love that. And the last thing, I actually, now that you were talking about that and going back to your kids talking about the YouTube channel, I'm curious, like how old are the kids and like what's exciting about the YouTube channel?
So Isaac is 8 and Anna is 6. And so far, what we have done is mostly travel stuff. So, like, we went to Legoland, SeaWorld,
Disney, yeah. So places like that.
It's been a lot of just kind of behind the scenes of what we do, just like in our day-to-day life.
But this was all kind of prompted by Isaac, because Isaac is he's a YouTube fanatic. And, like, his goal in life is to be able to create games that other kids play online. So, like, so he wants to be in that YouTube space because he's there all the time. So, like, we want to, like, let them do game videos. Anna Jo wants to open toys, you know? Right now, it's just expose them, get them involved. Let them do whatever they want and just kind of see where it takes them. But along the way, if they can learn how to edit videos, learn how to build a WordPress website, learn how to do whatever, they're just going to be light years ahead. And I hope that they know at 28 what it took me to 38 to figure out, because then their life is just going to, you know, be that much better. So that's kind of our mentality with that going forward. We actually launched a couple of videos and they got like 3,000 or 4,000 views right away, like their travel videos.
That's
like
cool.
Kids are like liking them and commenting them. And so it's really, really been a good thing right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. My son Keone started a YouTube channel too, and we were just playing Pokemon because that's what he's interested in. He wants to play board games and film that and just kind of teach other people how to play those board games too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing. Just putting him in that world because he wants to be there. And not doing everything for him. Like, yes, we had a 3-camera setup and all that stuff. But that was me. The other part of it is he's in there and he's watching me edit it, and he's almost at that age where he can start to do those things himself. But he's directing it. He's telling me what to do, and just giving him the ideas in his head now, and telling him that he has all these options in the world to do whatever he wants and to just roll with it. It's a beautiful thing. I love it.
Well, we play Roblox. I don't know if you play that yet.
Oh yeah.
Which some people have a bad rap of that game, but we play with them. We watch them. It's all good. But Roblox has a thing called Roblox Studio. Okay. And they can actually go into Roblox and design their own game. So Isaac actually made a shooter game. I put Camtasia on his computer. He recorded himself playing it, and he saw like random people go to this game and play it. And he flipped out. It was the most amazing like aha moment I've ever seen, because it was my 8-year-old going, "You mean I can create content and people will come use it?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so awesome too, because like they'll see that like 13 people have viewed it and they'll be like, 13 people,
I can't believe it. Like if you could harness that and give it to everyone who gets frustrated in online business,
dude,
be like,
right?
Dude, look at this kid. He's excited about 13 people. So should you.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's a nice little humbling experience for us too, because we see that and we're like, you know, these are actual people. I mean, these are people behind these eyeballs that are consuming your content. It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
And we forget sometimes when we're so deep in the advertising and the numbers and the tracking and the email lists and stuff. I think that's a great lesson and probably a great note to finish off on. And is just to remember those numbers all represent people, right? Those are human beings.
That's right.
And to keep in mind, just serving them, the more will happen to you. Guys, this has been awesome. Thank you guys for coming on, and this, I feel like this is like a little mini reunion show because we actually haven't chatted in quite a while since Podcast Movement last year, and you know, want to keep the good vibes going and wish you all the best, and can't wait to invite you on for a third time to see you know how everything is going. But thank you guys again. Where can people or where should people go to get more info about what you guys are up to?
If you want to check out what we're doing, you can head over to flippedlifestyle.com. That's FLIPPED lifestyle.com. You can follow us on Facebook or on Instagram at FlippedLS. And I got one more thing, Pat, that I got to drop in here. And
okay.
I'm totally not going to make a sales pitch. I just listened. I just met a guy at a Funnel Hacking Live. We went to Dallas to Russell Brunson's event.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a guy named Jason Brown, who I think you just had on your podcast.
He was on the show. Yeah, he was the one, for those of you who might remember, the Brown Report. He was doing the beginner stock market stuff.
That's right, man. So Jason Brown comes up to me with like he just hugs me just randomly. Didn't even say hi. He goes, "Man, Shane Sams, Jocelyn Sams, man." I'm like, hey, stranger, what are you doing? And he goes, "I was about to give up and I heard your interview on Smart Passive Income. I went and showed my wife and we went forward, man. And I just built my, you know, crazy business. And if I hadn't have heard you and Pat and that interview, I wouldn't have done it." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's
so cool.
That's like Hakuna Matata, man." You know what I mean? So I told Jason, I said, "All right, dude," I said, "we're talking to Pat in a week. I'm going to mention you on his show. You're getting double props."
Yeah, he is.
So that's what I said. I just had to bring that up because I was like, man, if I had never found you and you had never had us on and he had never heard that, he would not have started. And who knows who he's going to inspire. So, dude, thanks for keeping all this going, man.
Dude, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Jason, I know you're listening to this. You rock, man. Thank you. And we'll definitely hook you up with that extra link on the blog and on the show notes as a result. So, man, guys, thank you for telling me that story. It's always a pleasure to speak to you both. Keep up the great work. Thank you for inspiring me and the rest of the community. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Shane and Jocelyn, two of my favorite people. They're so down to earth. And you can tell they're from Kentucky, right, from their voice. But they have such a big heart. And so I'm very thankful to feature them here again and to offer flippedlifestyle.com for you to check out at some point in the near future so you can learn more from them as well. And I just I'm excited to start implementing some of their strategies too. So great stuff, Shane, Jocelyn. Thank you so much. Can't wait to catch up with you in the future. And all of you who are listening in today, just I appreciate you so much. If you have a moment to head on over to iTunes and leave a review for the Smart Passive Income podcast, just type in Pat Flynn or Smart Passive Income in the search bar there. And it would be really helpful for the show, for me, and I get really inspired when I read them. I have a tool that allows me to get all of the reviews coming into my inbox. That's called mypodcastreviews.com. It's great. If you're a podcaster, you should check it out. Anyway, that's not a paid ad. It's just a really cool tool. But anyway, just thank you guys so much. I look forward to serving you next week where we bring back a topic that we've talked about in the past. Actually, it was from episode 99. That's a little hint. And we get a little bit deeper into that. And I actually run some of those experiments myself too. So I'll just leave it at that. So you can come back, make sure you subscribe so you can get that right into your device next week. And I look forward to serving you then. Until then, keep moving forward. Keep pushing yourself. Keep getting like a little bit nervous, right? If you're getting a little bit nervous about where you're going, that's great. It means you're pushing yourself, you know, to the right extent. If you are working at, if you're working or building your business and you're not a little nervous, well, maybe it just means you're not going big enough. Think about that. All right, guys, take care, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, have you ever wondered what makes the difference between a one and a five-star review? Well, turn into Behind the Review, a phenomenal podcast from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Yelp's small business expert, Emily Wojcikovic, features a different conversation with a different reviewer or business owner to find out what was really going on, as the title suggests, behind the review. Recently, for example, Emily featured an episode about Aldea Country Eatery, the number five spot in the world on Yelp's top 100 places to eat. Emily interviews a wide variety of customers and business owners from a wide variety of industries, tabletop gaming companies, fitness industry, you name it. This is a really fascinating peek into what makes a great customer experience for any business, and you won't want to miss out. So listen to Behind the Review right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.